Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Baker Radio, exceptional legal talk with your hosts, T. Hoffman and Liz Miller.
Hello, this is T. Hoffman again with you this week for Baker Radio on NashvilleNetRadio.com, where Music City talks online. I'm our Chief Business Development Officer, and I work in our Nashville office of Baker Donaldson, Bierman, Caldwell, and Berkowitz. And I'm pleased to have our guest today on the phone, Mr. Tim Lupinacci in Birmingham. Hi, Tim.
Hey, T. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Tim is a bankruptcy lawyer by trade. He actually practices in our bankruptcy practice group and has a lot of experience doing workouts. And, Tim, I'm going to ask you some of that, what that really means in layman terms a little bit later on. But you also work a lot with commercial lenders and commercial financiers, trying to help them obtain creative financing and also, of course, workout strategies when that might come into play. And you, I think, graduated from Vanderbilt here in Nashville. Is that right?
I did law school in Vanderbilt. Yes, that's right.
Great. Now, how long have you been with us at Baker Donaldson?
I joined Baker Donaldson five and a half years ago.
And have you always done bankruptcy work?
I did. It's interesting. I went to law school to be a media lawyer. My undergraduate degree was radio and television, so I thought I was ultimately going to be a lawyer who specializes in First Amendment and media law, but I got to Vanderbilt and took a bankruptcy class that the professor really impressed me and learned a lot about it, and then I came out of law school in 91 when there was a huge uptick in bankruptcy filings from all the excesses of the 80s, and then since then, of course, I've seen cycles since then, but I literally started day one doing bankruptcy work, and I've been almost 20 years now doing that.
It's interesting how sometimes the professors that we have in law school or any time in our educational career can inspire us to take maybe a different path than we once thought we would take.
Yeah, and it's great because I continue to see my professor. She's no longer at Vanderbilt. She's gone on to a couple of, I think, Washington and Lee, and I run into her at ABA meetings, and so it's fun that I get to tell people that she, you know, got me on the path of wanting to do bankruptcy work. So
it's interesting also that bankruptcy law continues to evolve and change. I know when I was in law school in the 80s, there were some significant changes in, I think, 88, is that right, in the bankruptcy code?
I think that's right, yeah.
And then again, I think in 2005, which made Chapter 7 a lot more difficult for folks to just go out and file bankruptcy using Chapter 7.
That's right, for individuals filing 7, it was a large lobbying effort on behalf of several people, including creditor groups, who wanted to try to get individuals to more file Chapter 13, which is a wage earner's plan where they pay back their creditors over time rather than just Chapter 7 throwing up their hands and saying, I'm not paying anything back. And so, yeah, they changed the law in 2005 to try to achieve that, although, you know, ultimately I think short circuit the filings of Chapter 11 for a couple years, but it's now back up to record filings again. So wonder whether that's been successful for the groups that wanted it to be done, but that was done in 2005. That's right.
And it's interesting because Tennessee has always been known as kind of the bankruptcy hotbed, and you know, many people talk about why that happens to be, but we were fortunate this year to have Nevada named as the bankruptcy capital of the world versus Tennessee. But bankruptcies are actually up, I think, 22%, I read in U.S. News and World Report year over year. And obviously the economic downturn has played a significant role in that, and that 22% encompasses 13s, 11s, and 7s. But how has the economy impacted our clients at Baker Donaldson, specifically the lenders that we work with?
Yeah, I think that's where my practice primarily is. I'd say 95% or more of my practice is representing lenders and special servicers on securitized deals, which we can talk about what that is. But I think how the economy is affected, I've pretty much stayed busy with lenders who always are going to have, even in good times, borrowers who default on their loans for whatever reason. Maybe an industry segment has a trouble, or just particular borrower has problems. And so my practice is, you know, has been find out all the default, find out what's gone wrong, see if we can fix it in a way that benefits not only the borrower but our client, the lender, to protect their interest, their loan money, and through the collateral that they've taken. What things have changed in the last couple of years, which is a little bit different, is that particularly go back you know, 5-6 years, there was so much money out in the marketplace of people wanting to loan money, that if you, we got a new file in, it's a defaulted loan, a borrower may, one of our lender clients may have what they call lender fatigue. They don't want to work with this borrower anymore. They could go out and get, alternate financing and pay off the lenders. And so it was not so much trying to fix problems as much as giving them some time to go get the money because it was out there. What's changed in the last couple of years is there's really no, it's been a limiting of exit factors, exit strategies of trying to get money because, as everyone knows, lenders and others are is not lending as much money. So you have a problem borrower in default. Lender wants them to pay off their loan, and there's no place for them to go get alternate financing. So that's been sort of the challenge of figuring out what to do in this economy, with, of course, an increased volume of troubled loans.
And I think we've seen a big change in just the way lending is done. I think even 5 years, well, even 3 years ago, banks hired business development representatives to go out and help them find individuals that weren't necessarily high risk but might be, you know, not low risk, but maybe medium risk, to go out and help and help them create ways for them to lend money. You know, the banks were actually promoting themselves as lenders of choice, and I think we're going to see that change pretty dramatically in the coming years. Do you agree with that?
No, absolutely. I mean, that is some of the problem of the volume. And again, I'm talking about commercial loans. I mean, they could do a whole nother segment on, you know, individual and residential,
right,
and that stuff, which I don't do day in and day out. But it's the commercial loans. So we're talking about, you know, income generating properties and businesses. You're right. Back in 04, 05, it was such a competitive environment. You had those business development folks out there competing on rates, competing on all aspects of the loan, you know, no guarantees, things like that. And then everyone, the run was to try to make the loans. And then a lot of those loans were made on short maturities, 2 and 3 year maturities back,
right,
in 05, 06. And of course now we're getting to those loans are maturing. And again, now banks are not, you know, banks are
lending
money.
They don't want to renew it necessarily.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, and to your point, in that competitive environment of, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, lenders were lending based on projected income at these properties or businesses rather than on, you know, the assets and a more, I guess, conservative underwriting. So then you get the hiccup of the economy, and it's more like a cliff the last couple of years.
Right. Your real estate market bottoms out,
right,
and all
then,
of a sudden.
Yeah, and you don't have the income.
Right.
That you probably never had, but it was projected that you would have there. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of literature out there that talks about the problems and how we've gotten into the problem with commercial real estate. But it is significant.
And it really helps you understand how all of this has affected every aspect of our economy when you really start to look at this, the circular effect that all of this has had on every aspect of business. Then on the individuals that were involved in getting the loans, and then on them personally, and so on and so on and so on.
Well, and then particularly, I mean, some of the asset categories that we deal with a lot are multifamily properties, apartment complexes. You would think that with everything that's going on with people losing their homes, that then apartment complexes should be doing okay in the economy, but that's not the case because you have a lot of those individuals losing their homes that are moving in with family. And you also have a glut of the condo market because that was being built up. And, of course, no one or not as many people are buying condos. So the condo owners are converting those to sort of, you know, even, you know, massive size apartments. And so it's an overabundance of apartments. Again, but like you said, it's circular. You'd think that it would help at least the apartment complex segment, but it's not. It really has not. I mean, in some markets it has, but we're seeing a lot of struggles with apartment complexes across the Southeast.
And at Baker Donaldson, I know we've placed a big emphasis on trying to be proactive in helping educate our clients, especially the lenders, and how they can avoid some of these problems. Can you tell us a little bit about specifically what you all have done in the bankruptcy practice group? I know you have, I think, 32 lawyers in the bankruptcy practice group spread out all across our 15 offices. What have you all done to help our clients become more aware of some of the things they should do to protect themselves?
Yeah, one of the things that I've always done and been a firm believer of is building the relationships with the clients to understand their business and their needs, and then try to provide, you know, we can all do, I mean, a lot of law firms can do legal work and do it well. You got lawyers good degrees and good lawyers and everything. But I think that it's important for the clients to get the extra value. There's a book that was really impacted me several years ago. I read called Selling the Invisible. It's the over and above providing the top quality legal service. And so in building those relationships, it became clear to me that asset managers, which are the people who really work with problem loans, they need training. They want training because whether they're new or whether they're experienced. And so what our team does is go out to our servicer clients, to our lenders, and do lunch and learn seminars on things like how to identify and avoid lender liability, how to manage through the
downturn. All right, Tim, we're going to have to come back to you in just a few minutes.
Unless otherwise indicated, the attorneys interviewed for Baker Radio are not certified as specialists by the Tennessee Commission on Continuing Legal Education and Specialization in the areas of practice discussed during the show. No representation is made that the quality of the legal services performed by Baker Donaldson is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. The information provided on Baker Radio is not intended to be legal advice, but merely conveys general information related to legal issues commonly encountered. The information is not guaranteed to be correct, complete, or current. We make no warranty expressed or implied about the accuracy or reliability of the information conveyed on the show or at this website or at any other website to which this site is linked. This website is not soliciting clients and does not propose any type of transaction. By listening to this show, you understand that there's no attorney-client relationship between you and Baker Donaldson, Bierman, Caldwell, and Berkowitz. You should not act or rely on any information at this radio show website or information discussed during the radio show without seeking the advice of an attorney. The determination of whether you need legal services and your choice of a lawyer are very important matters that should not be based on this internet radio show, websites, or advertisements. The rules of professional conduct of the various states where our offices are located require the following language. This is an advertisement. T. Hoffman, Chief Business Development Officer, is located at the firm's Nashville office, located at 211 Commerce Street, Suite 1000, Nashville, Tennessee, and can be reached at 615-726-5600 or at BakerRadio@BakerDonaldson.com.
When someone you love needs in-home care, turn to at-home healthcare. Safety measures set at-home healthcare apart from other caregiving services. Our caregivers are employed by the company and not just contract labor. We don't wait until someone suspects a problem with a caregiver. We drug test every employee before they're hired and throughout employment. You can trust at-home healthcare. Find us on the web at www.athomehealthtn.com. We provide care you can trust.
I'm Laura Ellis, Nashville Marketing Specialist at Baker Donaldson. Our Clients First program has us thinking about client service every single day. We attend daily docket meetings designed to reinforce one of our 12 standards of excellence. So every day, we talk to each other about how to do it better. Here are just a few of our client service standards. We each play an important role in serving our clients, our people, and our communities. We commit to deliver extraordinary client service that consistently exceeds expectations. We actively listen to our clients and each other to identify needs, opportunities, and concerns. We follow up to help meet those needs, realize such opportunities, and resolve any concerns. And we foster open dialogue by seeking and providing feedback. Through our client service standards, we'll continue to emphasize clients first in all of our daily activities. To learn more about our 540 attorneys and how they can help you, visit BakerDonaldson.com.
Are you frustrated by how little you understand about your computer or word processor? Or perhaps you just love to sell some of your very cool stuff on eBay? Enter the For Dummies series, famous for making great and easy-to-understand books on how to learn about any subject in the universe. They're easy to read, easy to understand, and great fun. For Dummies books are at bookstores everywhere or visit dummies.com. Dummies books are brought to you by the great folks at Wiley Publishing.
If you or someone you know really babies their car, motorcycle, boat, or RV, do we have the product for you. Never wax again. With the very same paint sealant that new car dealers charge hundreds of dollars for at a fraction of the cost, now available direct to consumers. See the amazing results at www.paintprotectionspecialist.com. Whether restoring an older oxidized vehicle or protecting a new one, the PPS paint sealant may be applied with an orbital polisher or by hand. Best of all, we offer this simple but ironclad guarantee. If this is not the best product you or your loved one has ever used, we will refund your money, including shipping, and you do not need to return the product. Why would we offer such a guarantee? Because the product is that good. See for yourself at www.paintprotectionspecialist.com. That's paintprotectionspecialist.com. It makes the perfect gift.